Okay, so at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, we're introduced to Melachos HaMishkan via two Pesukim, Sheishis Yom HaTas Melach of Yom HaShvi Yelachem Kodesh, and then Lot Svarosh B'chomo Shvetech Yom HaShabbos, and then the Gemara, then the Torah goes into the Melachos HaMishkan, and then Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, Choresh Tevel, Lot Svarosh, Zahiz La'asos B'chom Melachos HaShabbos. That the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, was considered Malachas Machshavas, or Malachas Machshavas, which will translate as creative labors. So the Gemara in Shabbos Memtes says that this is the source that we derive which Malachas are prohibited, which are permissible from the Malachas of Mishkan, from the construction of the Mishkan, and from the Avodah of the Mishkan. That's a whole discussion. This is a very broad topic. Obviously, I can't cover it in 15 minutes. I want to discuss one particular area and how Malachas Machshavas relates to it. So we know that there's a concept of Dover She'enu Miskaven. If somebody does something without intent for the result that came out of it, so that's called Dover She'enu Miskaven. It's Machlokas in Rehuda and Reb Shimon. We follow Reb Shimon that Dover She'enu Miskaven is mutter. So the case in Beitza, in source number 3, Gora, the Mita, Kisir, Safsal, Vachalo, Miskaven, Lassus, Charitz. You can drag a chair across the lawn as long as you don't have intent to create a furrow. I don't know if this is a better English word, but you would be plowing. If you intended to plow the field by dragging the chair, that would be a problem, but since you don't intend to do that, so that's fine. And that's what we follow the halacha. Now the Gemara in source 4 notes a very important limitation to this, and that is that that's in a case where you're dragging the chair and it may or may not create a hole. But if you know for sure that it's going to create a hole, so then that's problematic. That's called psik reishe, right? And the mashal of psik reishe is important here because there's a machlokas between the Aruch and Tosos. I don't have time to give the whole analysis. The Aruch says the mashal is with regards to a person, that we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about the Isser of Ritzicha. So it's kind of a melitza. How could it be that somebody says, well, I didn't intend to kill the guy, I just wanted to chop off his head? So obviously anyone who intends to cut off somebody's head plans to kill him. So it's a very grotesque mashal, but that's how if you read the Aruch inside, that's what he seems to be understanding it. He uses the word rotzeach. Rashi, the rabbi, uses animals. So you want to cut off an animal's head to play with it or whatever. So even though you don't intend to kill the animal, you know for sure that the animal's going to die when you cut off his head. That's psik reishe. Now the Aruch, the reason why this rotzeach point is important is that he says that if it's a case where you don't really care what the result is, a psik reishe is lo nichalei. So you're not really interested. You know that the animal's going to die, but you don't really care if the animal wants to keep walking around without a head, it's fine. When you're talking about a person, so obviously the goal of beheading somebody is to kill them. So the Aruch says that psik reishe d'lo nichalei is mutter. And ostensibly what he means is that it's mutter not only on Shabbos, but it's mutter b'chol Torah kula. Tosa says that psik reishe d'lo nichalei is aser. The only thing is that when it comes to Shabbos, we have certain rules. This is part of the Malachas Machshavas discussion. And when it comes to Shabbos, so Malachas Machshavas Aser Torah, and since it's a Malachas Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, right, what if there was an unintended result that came about? So you didn't really, let's say you took a heavy thing and you dragged it across the lawn. You have no idea whose lawn it is. You couldn't care less whether there's a hole or not. So it's not really that relevant to you. So that's called a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. You didn't really need it for anything. Now there's a whole analysis. I don't have time to get into it, but there's Rabbi Kivager and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman have a whole analysis. What comes out, just bottom line, is that according to the Aruch, You know, psik reishis lo nichli defines the intent of the action. Meaning, how does the secondary result relate to the primary result? The secondary result means that if you don't want it, you never had kavana for it in the first place. You never wanted the result to happen, and you don't care about the result, and so it is, by definition, a davar shenu miskaven. Again, that's nothing specific to Shabbos. According to Tosos, the reason why psik reisha is a problem is because we consider all the results that are automatically going to happen as a function of that original action to be all one thing. So you drag a heavy thing across the ground, you are creating a furrow. It's not a secondary thing. It's not an unintended result. That is the result that comes when you drag the heavy thing. You can't separate the two. So the only reason why your putter, and again, for Tosafot it's Usser, but it's Usser Midrabanan, your putter because it's Malach HaShin Tzilul Gufa. Okay. And according to the Aruch, it's Mutar. According to the Tosfot, it's Asur, and Shulchan Aruch follows Tosfot. Now, there's a discussion, again, not so much time to go into it. Maybe if we get to the end, we have more time, but there's a discussion what happens if the resulting thing is Rabbanon, what happens if it's Rabbanon and it's Lo Nichole. There's a lot of discussion, and there's a lot of room to be makel in that situation, and that's a very common scenario. And maybe if we get to the end, you know, if we have time at the end, we'll discuss it further. The Taz talks about the following case. Let's say you have a box, okay, and there may or may not be bugs or flies inside the box, and you want to close the box. So what happens when you close the box? So if there are flies in there, they get trapped. If there are no flies in there, then they don't get trapped. So you don't know if there are flies in there or not. So he calls that, he says that's not the case of, it's not a psik reisha because you don't know if there, meaning the same way when you drag the chair across the lawn, you don't know if you're going to make a hole or not. Here too, when you close the box, you don't know if you're going to trap the bugs or not. So he says that's a davar sheino miskaven. Rabbi Kiva Eger in source 14 points out that the Ramah seems to disagree. The Ramah talks about in the old days when people stayed in a hotel or whatever, so or at inn might be a better word. So there was kind of this social obligation that when you're sitting in the lounge warming up, everyone participates in kind of fanning the flames and burning that radiator or whatever that's heating up the whole place. And people were cooking food on top of this big fire. And so the hotel, the inn has people who are Jewish, not Jewish, and there are people who are cooking Basar B'Cholov, potentially, in one of those pots. So if you fan the flames, the Ramah says you should be careful to make sure there's no Basar B'Cholov in the pot, because, you know, when you fan the flame, you're cooking Basar B'Cholov. So Rikiv Eger says, I don't understand. What's the problem? You don't know if there's Basar B'Cholov in there. It should be a Davar Sheinu Miskaven. It should be Mutter. So Rabbi Kiyager thinks that the Ramah disagrees with the Taz. And the Mishnah Brura discusses this. The Mishnah Brura comes up with kind of pshara. He assumes that it is a machlokas between the Ramah and the Taz. And so he says that if the resulting action is Rabbanan, you could be Mekel. If it's Daraisi, you should be Machmir. Again, this is what's called a Suffolk psik reisha, meaning it's not the classic case. Let me just explain further. It's not the classic case where you're taking a chair and you may or may not make a hole. Here, it's either for sure that you're going to do something, or you're for sure not going to do something. You just don't know what you're doing. It's not lahaba. It's not what's going to happen. It's what did happen. Did the bugs go into the box, or did they not go into the box? Did I shut off the light in my fridge before Shabbos, or did I not? But if I didn't, it's for sure going to go on. And if I did, it's for sure not going to go on. It's not a question of what will happen with something we don't know. It's going to for sure happen. Basically, you're going to know right away whether it is going to happen.
Still, Aruch allows you to open the refrigerator. Would that matter?
The Aruch
would allow you, even though for sure it's on because you don't need the light.
Maybe you could argue that you do that the light benefits you, but
it's going to help you that light.
Yeah, light does help you. Let's table that for a second. So the Malamed Lahoil says, I have a different way of resolving this. There's a difference, and it gets back to the original topic, there's a difference between Shabbos and Bas B'Cholav. Why? Because Shabbos, so what's the standard for Shabbos? Meleches Machsheves. It has to be creative labor. So if you don't know, whether if it's, you don't know what's going to happen, or you don't know what did happen, you don't know what's going to happen, meaning you don't know what's going to happen when you open the fridge. You don't know if the light's going to go on or not. So what's the difference if the whole standard is Meleches Machsheves? What's the difference if it was because of something that happened in the past or something that might happen in the future? If you don't know, you don't know. That's Malam L'Hol. Whereas in Bas B'Cholav, there is no such thing as Meleches Machsheves. The standard is, are you going to violate the Isser or are you not? So if there's a pot of Bas B'Cholav on the thing and you fan the flames and the Bas B'Cholav now cooks because of you, so you cook Bas B'Cholav. So that's how he resolves it. Okay, so that's one area. And again, the practical applications are many, but the fridge and the light is the most obvious application, the easiest to understand. Here's another very modern day application from earlier sources. It's the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, "Hayat Tzvi Ratz Kedarko." Right, Tzvi is running. Let's say there's a deer in your house. You want to leave, and you don't want to leave your door open because whatever. That's you normally close your door when you leave the house. So v'niskaven linol ba'adov and al ba'adov arat tzvi muter. And you close the door, and it sounds like ba'arat tzvi, meaning and you had it in mind. Oh, by the way, this is a good thing because I'm closing the door. You know, I'm closing the door to protect my house. I also get a deer out of this deal. So that's mutter.
What would you mean?
So the Rashba says that it seems to Rishami it's mutter, and as long as you didn't have specific kavana so the Ran says, well, what do you mean? This is the classic case of segregation. You had in mind, you knew the deer was in there, and you had in mind to trap the deer. I mean, this might not be segregation. This might be davar hamiskaving. You had kavana. At least that's the Rishalmi seems to say. You had kavanah, sort of. You had in mind that you were trapping the deer. So what's going on here? So the Avnei Nezer says the following: that let's say he quotes a Rosh. Let's try to do this quickly.
Which Rishalmi?
The Rishalmi and
the Brachot. What is it?
Shabbos. Rishalmi Shabbos. So quickly, let's say the following. Somebody's in their house, and right before they're about to go to work, you take your car or something, you block them in. Or let's say you block in their car, now they can't go to work. So do you have to pay for their lost wages for the day? No, that's called grumma. The Rosh says that's grumma. It wasn't direct. So why is it that on Shabbos, it's a malacha to trap a deer in the house? You didn't touch the deer. Normally, when you do a malacha, you have to do something to the object. So if you take a deer and you grab it, that's tzad, that's trapping. But the deer walks into your house and you close the door. Even if you close the door specifically to catch the deer, why is that a malacha? So he says, because that's meleches macheves. That sometimes meleches macheves defines the malacha. So even though in other areas of halacha, trapping a deer would be considered grama because you didn't touch a deer, in Shabbos, that is called a malacha. That's a tolda of tzad. That's a subcategory, but it's a malacha d'oraisa. So Avnei Nezer says, but that's only true if you had kavana to trap the deer. But if your kavana, if your intent was to close the door on the, to protect your house, and your kavana was not to trap the deer, so then you take away the malachas machsheves. So Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg says that the same thing would apply to a video camera. He uses this Rashba as Avnei Nezer's explanation of the Rashba. Let's say he thinks that the video camera's over there, and it's kind of you don't have an intent to be on it, and it's not, you're not directly touching the camera. The camera kind of is recording, and you're just walking in front, and the digits in the computer are changing because you're there. So he says, if you go over to the camera and you start waving, or you want to be on the camera, you want to see your face on the screen, so that's Malachas Machsheves. But if you're just walking from point A to point B and the camera catches you as you're walking from point A to point B, there's no malachas machshavas there. Forget about psik reisha, because psik reisha is a technical thing, but fundamental to this malacha, or whatever we're going to say the isur is the malachas machshavas component. When the malachas machshavas component is missing, so then everything is mutar. At least, you know, again, the Ran disagrees with the Rashba, so we don't rely on this Rashba by itself, but it's a nice idea that when there's a chisaron of malachas machshavas, some malachas, if they don't have the malachas machshavas, then you don't violate them. It's like a mishnah about mavis mursa. I don't have time to get into all the ma'amar kamos, but there are certain malachas that if you're lacking the requisite malachas machshavas, it's not a malacha. Okay. Stop.